Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this Reboot podcast. The third alternative voice in our series is, perhaps unsurprisingly given recent events, the Foreign Secretary. The former incumbent, Mr. Dominic Raab, took a lot of stick for sticking to his deck chair while the Taliban took over Afghanistan. And as for Ms. Truss and one of the great officers of state, well, she's a blank page, isn't she? In more ways than one, you might say. But we couldn't possibly comment. So as she's new to the job, and in a spirit of cooperation, we thought we'd give her some pointers. Please give a warm welcome to Reboot's alternative Foreign Secretary.
When you're Foreign Secretary, there's no time to sun yourself. Even with your mobile phone on, as the outgoing holder of this centuries-old office has discovered to his cost. The job's often described as being the country's chief diplomat, which is true. But I'd put it differently. It's about patriotism, upholding and promoting the United Kingdom's security and prosperity, and the well-being of its population, through all the means at our disposal on the international stage. A good foreign secretary combines being the country's chief realist with being its chief idealist, standing up for what's right, within the limits of what's possible, doing what's necessary for the country. The world faces its most dangerous period since 1914, arguably ever. In a nuclear-armed era, with an existential environmental crisis and health emergencies confronting us, we cannot afford increasingly destabilized, chaotic international conditions. But that's precisely what we're seeing. President Xi's Chinese Communist Party actively seeks systematic competition with the USA and its allies. He's content to behave in ways reminiscent of the darkest decades of European history, and to cloak his actions in a torrent of propaganda. Russia, under President Putin, another shameless propagandist, attempts to disrupt. He pursues revanchist, brutal expansion in Europe, the Caucasus, and Central Asia, using Russia's oil and gas resources and vast nuclear arsenal as blackmail. In the pure image of the Soviet KGB, he deploys covert, state-backed, and state-executed terrorism and so-called hybrid war. Both have a vital interest in protecting the personal safety and huge wealth of their domestic political allies, themselves, and their families. It is the overriding and most urgent task of any British government to do all in its power to help stem and reverse these deeply troubling trends. Our future depends on it. It is through hard-headed, systematic, and sustained cooperation with our neighbours and allies that we give practical expression to patriotism, not through jingoism or empty three-word slogans or lurches into geopolitical fantasy. They help no one, except those who would do us harm. We also, and crucially, do it by recognizing essential realities, where power lies, how it is exercised, and how circumstances are evolving, and why. In 1950, the United States was, with half the globe's entire economic output, an unparalleled financial and industrial colossus. The USA, still the world's hyperpower, is now reduced to around a quarter of the global economy. Its relative position has eroded as the technology and energy supply advantages it enjoyed spread to others over time, and the world has become more interconnected, sometimes in ways that challenge democracies and the exercise of legitimate state power. These developments make it harder, but if anything, more important, for America to protect its interests and, in the process, those of its main allies. Allies which now must make an increasing contribution to the effort. The USA is indispensable for Britain. The reverse is not the case. We fool ourselves if we think otherwise. When we talk about the USA, it is about much more than the continental-scale country with its capital city in Washington, D.C. Geopolitically, the United States is a global system of political, economic, financial, and military structures centered on that country. What we refer to as the international rules-based system is fundamentally dependent on, and to a large extent actually is, those arrangements. It represents more than half of the world's economy and defense spending, more than double China's land area, and over 1 billion people. It is powerfully present across the globe. Europe's vital contribution to the system is founded primarily on the European Union and NATO, both of which are essential to the success of the whole. The UK used to be a leading member of each. Such are the benefits of a hugely privileged education and a Burlingdon Club apprenticeship in destroying one's surroundings, that a quality of extraordinary arrogant foolishness appears to have become a prerequisite for cabinet rank in Her Majesty's government. Disregarding, misunderstanding, and smashing up our vital alliances and the essential structures and processes which make them effective is deeply disturbing the philosophy, if such a term can be used, of the cabinet. America, under President Biden, is not abandoning its global role. Don't be fooled by some of the current commentary on Afghanistan. The tragedy facing so many is real. Our duty to help those affected, clear. Nonetheless, what we're witnessing is the Biden administration, as it has made clear from day one, implementing a strategy of focusing on the most important core tasks, and doing so with increased concerted participation from the European Union, Japan, and other key allies who get with the program. The United Kingdom represents about 3% of world defense spending, about 3% of the global economy, 1% of population, and a small fraction of a percent of land area. For a country of our size and capabilities, facing the massive international challenges outlined earlier, there are three potential ways forward. Deny reality. Seek a free ride. Or contribute. I reject the first. Anyone keen to abandon reality? Be my guest. I cannot advise you further. King Canute might want a word or two, though. Trying to free ride is a tempting thought for some. Get North America, the EU, Asian and other major US allies to do the heavy lifting. Fail to contribute. Reap the rewards. It is unconscionable and doomed, yet barely disguised. It's the policy being pursued by the current British government. What a declaration of political, intellectual, and moral bankruptcy. Worse, there's more than one strand within this government actively seeking a US administration which would throw the world under a bus, one which would abandon Europe and other core global commitments. We can speculate about the possible motivations for wishing that. None are good. There is a patriotic alternative to this. Frankly terrifying. Chaos and incompetence. It requires realism, idealism, and determination. First, reverse the strategic error of the Johnson Brexit. There has never been a majority in this country for the Johnson vote leave chainsaw surgery bleeding stump approach. A wildly frailing political lurch, which tears apart the United Kingdom and undermines the global alliance on which we depend. The Johnson Brexit has failed, It must end. We need an agricultural and food standards arrangement with the EU, removing 80% of the bottlenecks at the Great Britain-Northern Ireland internal frontier, recklessly introduced by the Johnson government in its determination to rip the UK out of the EU single market and customs union. And we must urgently negotiate a return to both, or substantially identical arrangements. The UK's economy will bleed out. Slowly, if we're lucky. Faster than you imagine, if we're not. If the Johnson Brexit is allowed to continue. Second, redouble our contribution to global security through our defence, aid and diplomatic capabilities. Europe's territorial defence is our defence. The US, under any administration, strongly wants Europe to play a full, much enhanced part in its own security. Global force projection has its place with our main allies and with our European house in order. Our overseas aid is both a moral duty and a service to national security. Cutting it is exceptionally short-sighted. Europe, with the UK playing its full part, can truly be the world's development assistance superpower in our national and collective interests. Britain's diplomatic capabilities are hollowed out. The tenures of the outgoing Foreign Secretary and his predecessor resulted in a precipitate decline in the quality, reputation, and impact of British diplomacy. It's our face to the world and our means of influencing it, leveraging the UK's economic, defence, and reputational strengths, anchored in powerful alliances on our own continent and beyond. Pretending that our permanent seat on the United Nations Security Council, our membership of the G7 or the Five Eyes Intelligence Sharing Group can shore up the position of a self-isolating so-called global Britain is dishonest and deeply irresponsible. And it's seen as such in major capital cities across the world. No diplomacy can be effective in the face of such a crass denial of reality. Third, having re-established ourselves as serious partners, we have a chance of making a real difference to the achievement of the most important global tasks facing humanity. Preservation of the planet. Prevention of nuclear annihilation and other major security threats. Protecting public health. Ending poverty and spreading prosperity. Fail on any one of these and it's game over. To imagine that we can succeed without half the global economy, the US, EU, Japan, and other allies, making a joint, concerted effort of historic proportions, is to fool ourselves, and fatally so. To believe that the UK can free ride in a fantasy bubble of fake patriotism and historically, strategically illiterate hubris is to make our country and its people a laughingstock. At best, a pariah state to be contained by the USA and its European allies at worst. All these tasks are immensely difficult. They are also risky and expensive. Risks and expense only exceeded many, many times over by those of failure. The catastrophic experiment which the current Prime Minister and his narrow vote-leave cabinet are trying to perform on the country is unpatriotic. Like paddling while Kabul burns, it undermines our security, prosperity, and well-being. It is reckless. It is wrong. It must end. If not, we will never be forgiven. So please join me and help bring Britain back.
Thank you to our Alternative Foreign Secretary for a values-based statement of intent. I would love to hear what Liz Truss delivers when fantasy meets realpolitik. Don't forget the new US, UK and Australian pact. AUKUS. Yes, honestly. which is to counter China with more nuclear submarines. A move that undermines regional peace, says Beijing. Major US ally France is none too happy either, because its own submarine deal with Australia is now undermined. Today, France's Minister of Foreign Affairs described it as a stab in the back and a breach in the contract of the century. And trust is betrayed. Strong stuff. Or at least the UK is consistent in alienating all our European allies when the world needs to come together for the COP26 meeting. November's COP26 is the last real chance. Climate change mitigation is on the agenda, and we need the world to be involved. The irony of the British trying to make the rest of the world comply with the Paris Agreement is not lost on us. Well, we're coming to the end of Reboot's latest take on current international relationships. We will continue to imagine what better UK politics looks like. We will carry on asking the uncomfortable questions for politicians in future broadcasts. I hope you will join us. If you want to learn more about Reboot's views on UK's current politics, head over to our website. That's rebootgb.today/opinions. There you will find a range of reading materials on the biggest questions in UK politics. From how do we get back to the European Union membership to the future of the British Union. Until we meet again, stay informed and stay safe. Goodbye, it's Liz Crosby signing off.